Welcome, faithful lemmings, back to our podcast. I believe we are up to, what, number 15?
Yes, I think we are. So it's just going to be, well, let's introduce ourselves.
Yeah, this is Sticky here, if you didn't already know.
And this is Fear the Claw, and it looks like it's just going to be the two of us. Drew is out this week. Yep. So hopefully we can do better with two people than we did last time.
I'm sure we will. Without him, I'm sure our presence won't be hurt too much.
Ooh.
So what do you got for this week?
Well, first thing on my list, since this is a gaming store, figured this would be a good place to start.
Yep.
The Wii is looking at a probable price drop in the near future.
It's definitely going to happen. It has to happen. Their sales have been going down consistently over this entire year. They're down 50% from last year. I think the $199 sticker will really help that.
You know what I always find interesting when they have one of these price drops and, you know, when they're talking about console sales is, well, like you said, sales are down 50% from last year. Well, how many people have bought a Wii in the past 3 years? Wouldn't it be logical...
26 million, I think.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be logical for sales to dwindle by now? Because I would imagine, at this point, almost everybody who wants a Wii has gotten one. So, I mean, yes, it does need the price drop. And especially with... You know, Sony dropping their price and Microsoft dropping their price earlier this year. It's definitely a good thing for...
Yeah, that's definitely one of those things where they had to do it. It's a completely necessary thing. The 360 and PS3 price drops have absolutely helped their sales. The Slim PS3 was flying off of the shelves, and...
As soon as I can afford one, I'll be picking one of those up.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm just gonna stick to my 60 gig model. Yeah, I mean, I like backwards compatibility more than a slimmer.
Yeah, case. I don't necessarily care about the slimmer case. I just, you know, I've been sitting on the fence about a PS3 for, well, as long as it's been. Well, no, I wasn't on the fence for the first year. I knew I didn't want one.
Right.
It's starting to build a library now that I know for a fact that Blu-ray is the next gen format. Definitely. I'm ready to jump on. It was just the price that was keeping me back. Probably keeping a lot of people back.
Yeah, most people, I would say. And that's something that $299 sticker. It's a huge increase for them. It's great for them.
Yeah, $300 seems to be the sweet spot for game consoles. Once a console hits that $250 to $300 range, that's where they really start selling. And I don't know why console manufacturers insist upon building these systems that they can't afford to sell at less than, you know, that price point.
It's for the early adopters. If you can get that extra $50 out of the early adopters, the people that don't care what the price is, just give me your system.
Well, go out and find me an early adopter to the Panasonic 3DO or the Atari Jaguar and tell me how they felt about their purchase.
Yeah, true. That's why I like to let things work out the kinks before I get them. By the way, did you see the rumors/announcement for the 250 gig PS3 and 250 gig 360?
I heard about the 250 gig 360, and that's actually confirmed. It's going to be with the Modern Warfare 2 packed in.
Yeah, yep, I saw that. That was, what, $399, two controllers, Modern Warfare 2, the system, and the 250 gig hard drive?
That's a pretty good deal. I mean, I have 120 gig hard drive right now, and I have about 15 gigs left on mine because I'm installing games on the hard drive to make it run quieter and, you know, reduce the risk of a red ring. So,
speaking of red ring 360s, mine didn't red ring, but my 360 is currently broken. It just died like 2 days ago.
Fun.
Yeah, I went to press the button to open the disc tray. Well, nothing happens.
Jeez.
But on the screen, it says opening, closing, and I just can't get it out. I think the plus side is that it's still got like two or three months left on its 1 year warranty, so that's I'll get it for free. Hopefully, with any luck, they'll send me a new system. But
mine's already out of its 1 year warranty, so hopefully, if anything goes wrong with it, it's going to be an E70 or Red Ring, because otherwise, I got to buy a new one.
Hope for the E74. That's what I always say.
As long as we're on current events, we may as well talk about what we've been doing as far as gaming this week.
Yep.
I picked up Beatles Rock Band last week.
Enjoying that?
I love it. Yep. I've always been kind of a lukewarm Beatles fan.
I'm kind of the same way.
And I, you know, have always been one of those people, single bands do not need their own games.
True.
But Beatles, I justify, because if you know the Beatles catalog, their music varies as much, if not more, throughout their career as most Rock Band or Guitar Hero games have with multiple artists.
Yeah, agreed.
And they are legends, and this game has done a lot to really instill that upon me. I'm loving this game, I'm loving the songs that I didn't know, and refamiliarize it. There are a lot of songs that either I didn't know were originally Beatles songs, or songs that I knew were originally Beatles songs, but apparently had never heard the original version. Like, I've never heard the original Beatles recording of Octopus's Garden.
Question. Do you feel like you're tripping face when you play that game?
We have reached the Abbey Road album, and yes, there are a couple of very scary moments. My friend who usually plays with me says the worst part is the ones where you're either looking at just a profile or a straight-on shot of one of the Beatles singing straight into the TV.
Yeah, that
gets a little freaky.
I'm sure that can be a little disturbing.
And I Am the Walrus was pretty scary.
Yeah, the Beatles have just a long and well-publicized catalog of songs and a great, rich history to run off of.
I thought you were going to say a long and widening road.
God, no.
I better get my fail horn ready. It's going to be one of those days.
Yep. So, I have actually been playing quite a few things this week, despite my broken 360. My first gushing is going to be about Scribblenauts.
Yes, I think I'm going to end up picking that up. I was on the fence about it, but I've heard everybody's talking about it. I've heard nothing but good things about it. Are they right?
I can't say nothing but good things, but all of the great things about it just completely overshadow the bad things, which is really, really surprising, considering the big flaw of the game is very, very apparent, and you see it all the time, and you'll die because of it all the time. Here's the thing. The creation's great. The words are great. The number, the way that they work together, combining this, combining that, it works really well. That alone is worth the price of admission.
How much is it, by the way?
$30.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, I figured it would have been like a $34 or $40.
Yeah, I was thinking $35, $40. Yeah, that's worth it alone. The title screen is just a screen where you can just type in wherever you want with no consequences and just throw them in there. My favorite is battles. I just like battling like random things, putting up like the devil versus a priest and things like that. I don't know. There's just infinite possibilities to do. The one glaring issue in it, and it's just super apparent, is that it's very touchy. Like, the controls and the way you move them is very touchy. They try to do too much with one DS screen. Like, not only do you have to write in your words, you have to drag, like, click and drag and drop, like, items onto each other, onto your guy, onto other people, but that's also how you move. If you tap the screen somewhere near the ground, he'll run to that spot. So sometimes while you're trying to drop something or pick something up, he will run through that spot and jump to his death often.
So, wait, the entire game is played on the bottom screen?
There's other buttons, like the L and R triggers. They both, they rotate objects, so when you pick them up with a stylus, you press the left trigger and I'll rotate it depending on what direction you want it.
See, I was under the impression that it controlled like a standard platformer with the D-pad and buttons until you reached an obstacle and then you start using the touchscreen.
No. The D-pad actually controls where the camera is. So in the level. So when you're using the D-pad, the camera will move around so you can, you know, type in whatever you want and then drag and drop those onto that point without actually being there. I think that if they would have made the D-pad as movement, even if they used up as jump, but made the D-pad as movement, it probably would have been more of like a 10 than the 8 that it is right now.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, like,
hours of fun.
Hours and hours of fun. I get people. I was at college the other day, right? I'm at college in the computer lab. There's about 8 people standing around one computer, and I'm trying to figure out what this is because, you know, it's supposed to be a computer lab, quiet, whatever. And these people are just laughing and, like, you know, all sorts of things. So I walk over to go look, and it's 8 people, which is 4 girls, a couple of them pretty good looking, 10, 4 guys. They're all staring at a computer, looking at the word list for Scribble Knots.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out words that it knows and it doesn't know and things like that. They didn't even have the game, but 8 people right there were just in love with it. And I actually gave a couple of them my card, and they're going to be coming in. So.
See, this is why I was saying last week off the show that it should have had some sort of multiplayer function. Like, you know, just a local wireless where you can, you know, get together with a bunch of friends and solve puzzles together.
Yeah.
You know, like if, I create one thing, but I need something else in order to complete it, somebody else has to create something else and just work off of each other.
Yeah, it would be nice, but it's great as it is already. Like,
yeah.
Even though that control issue is so glaring and, like, hurts so much, the game's main mechanic and overlying puzzles are just so much better that it makes me forget about that. Some of them are very, very frustrating, though. There's 2 types of levels. There's puzzle levels and there's action levels, where you kind of got to platform a little bit more and dodge things and, you know, reroute bombs and things like that.
That's cool. I may be picking that up on my way out.
You better. It's a good decision.
I should have mentioned this when we were talking about the 250 gig 360, but I saw online last night. Yeah, today. I just woke up. they've got a 360 bundle coming out, or out. I'm not sure which. I think it's yet to come out. With obviously the 360. I'm not sure if it will be, I think it's just a black 360. It might be Halo themed, I'm not sure. But it comes with Halo 3, Halo 3 ODST, and the Halo Reach beta.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
Which I thought was interesting because, as far as I know, we don't really know what Halo Reach is yet.
It's a full-scale first-person shooter. I will guarantee it. It's a full-scale first-person shooter, but they're rebuilding the engine. So it's not going to be the Halo 3 engine like ODST is. They're going to rebuild another shooter engine around it.
It makes me curious as to, you know, who the main character is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everybody is. It just seemed... It surprised me to see this picture of a box with, you know, Halo Reach on it. I'm like, what? Wait, we don't even know what that is yet. Yeah, how are they selling it?
That 360, by the way, does have Halo emblazoned all over it.
Okay.
And, I don't know, I read from a comment from a Bungie exec that said they're expecting the Halo Reach beta to help sell ODST.
Yeah, I'm interested in ODST to begin with. I mean, it's probably not going to be my run-out and buy, you know, obviously because I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah.
It's not going to be my run-out and buy game for the year. But then again, neither was Halo 3. It was, I think it was probably a couple months after I got my 360 when I got Halo 3.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks for me. I waited, like, till it came in used and whatnot, and I tried it out a couple times. But in ODST, being that it's running off the same engine, it's just more of like, they started it as DLC,
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, why don't we make a full-scale game out of this?
Yeah.
So that leads me to believe that it's not going to have the full Halo experience that I could probably justify $60 for. Maybe like 40, but...
I find it harder and harder to justify $60 for any game nowadays. I would probably pay $60 for Batman Arkham Asylum. I haven't yet, but I would. I paid $60 for Beatles Rock Band because I knew that's a game that I'm going to put in again and again and play with other people and have, you know, big parties with Beatles Rock Band.
I could see that one, especially with the licensing costs and everything, why that'd be $60 and why it'd be worth it.
And Ghostbusters, I got used here for $53, which is almost the same thing, but... You know, it's just really hard for me to justify that $60 purchase. Because especially, you know, you buy it for $60, and then if you decide you don't want it anymore, you know, the most you usually get out of it is like, you know, $30.
$20, $30.
Yeah.
So, there's a few games I can justify $60 for. Call of Duty 4.
Modern Warfare 2, if I end up getting that, I could justify $60
on. Yeah, that one I'm sure is going to be worth every penny of my $60. Civilization Revolution is another one that I would gladly pay $60 for again. Just because I've dumped so many hours into it, countless hours on that game.
For me, as a rather frugal gamer, the game price sweet spot for me is... Like, for a relatively new game, is between the 30 to 40 range.
Yep.
Granted, a lot of games aren't going to be coming out for that price, because that's kind of like your budget titles.
And that it almost scares me when games come out for, like, $40. I'm like, it's got to be crap.
I'm actually kind of hoping Lego Rock Band is priced for that, because it is supposed to be geared more towards a family audience, but it's also got a lot of songs on it that I really want in Rock Band.
But then again, it's geared towards a family audience, and what families usually have a little bit more than your regular gamer, a little bit more cash.
Yeah.
And when a kid wants something, you know a parent is going to shell out that the more money for it than your average person buying it for themselves, I'd say.
But, I mean, look at the Wii. The Wii said, all right, we're going to come out, and we're going to be the cheapest one on the market, and it sold like nuts.
Yeah, agreed.
So, I mean, price is always a factor, especially dealing with, you know, parents.
Yep. You chose a couple, like, Ghostbusters and Batman seem like odd games for $60 price points, only because I say that there's not real multiplayer on them. Like, you know, real multiplayer.
Yeah, co-op multiplayer. Like, yeah, you can't play through, I know what you mean. Like, for Ghostbusters, there's missions, but there's no storyline.
Yeah. Batman, there's absolutely no multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I just don't see those being as games that I can invest enough hours into without you know, to justify that $60.
Here's my thing. I rarely return games that I like. Like, Ghostbusters, I bought it, I played it all the way through. I'm probably going to keep that in my library for the rest of my life. Because if a game is worth my purchase, and I enjoy it all the way through, chances are I'm going to want to return to it a couple years later. Like, I can see Ghostbusters being the type of game that every time I have a hankering to watch the movies, I'm going to want to follow it by playing the video game.
Yeah.
And the game's short enough that I could just pop it in and play through it real quick.
Yeah, I guess if you're getting multiple playthroughs, I just don't play, like, most story-driven games, I can't play through twice.
See, for me, I've heard a lot of people say that Batman Arkham Asylum is a fantastic game. It's worth the $60.
Which reminds me, I have been playing that this week. That was one of my other games.
On what system?
PS3, of course. Because my 360 is broken.
Right. Well, there's also a PC version of it.
Yeah, well.
And I saw a thing online about custom Batman skins that people have been doing on the PC. If you want to check them out, it's forums.idosgames.com, showthread.php, =92752. I know that's complicated, but I'm sure if you just do a Google image search for custom Batman skins, you'll find them.
Yeah.
But I saw some really funny ones, some really awesome ones. they've got the standards, like classic outfits. Somebody did one for Dark Knight and one for Batman Begins. Somebody did one for 1989 Batman costume. Cool. I saw the classic blue and gray Batman Begins Batman.
Yep.
And then there's some really odd ones. Somebody did a Batman Superman costume.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I think I saw that.
Where he used the comic book logo for Batman Superman, and he had a red cowl and cape, but the black, and that was really funny.
Yeah.
Somebody did a Green Lantern one.
I think I saw, like, a Wolverine-ish one, like the yellow and black. Well, it might just be, like, an X-Men style one, because it's just yellow and black, but, I like that one, actually.
Yeah, so that, I don't have a PC, and I'm not getting one just for that, but I went through the thread and was just downloading pictures left and right of different ones they've done.
Did you download the free challenge maps?
I don't have the game yet.
Oh.
I would buy the game if I had the extra money,
yeah.
But I haven't had it recently, so I haven't bought it.
Let me tell you, it is great. The combat is smooth as hell, which is awesome. It's, you know, here's the thing. I bashed on Fable 2 for its one-button attack scheme, like, you know, X to attack, Y or triangle to do circle, or to do spells, whatever. But Batman's kind of the same way. It's square to attack, triangle to counter, and circle to stun.
Yeah.
And it's so basic, but the way it flows is really, really great.
It kind of turns into a fighting game.
Kind of without all the, like, complicated combos. I mean,
right. But like Soul Calibur, most people don't know how to play Soul Calibur. They just button mash, and you know what button does what, and you just try and string them together.
Yeah, well, you're talking to the wrong guy on that one. I'm the fool that went through and memorized a lot of Soul Calibur moves. I'm nasty at that one.
Yeah, my friend has found out how to do the unblockable move for, like, almost every single character. I'm like, how the hell are you doing this?
Yeah, they're so easy, though. Just sidestep or...
Yeah, I know. Like, I can't remember what character it is, but she, like, launches herself across the screen with the unblockable move, and as soon as I see him charge it up, I just step to the side and grapple, smash.
Yeah, it's Cervantes' skin, I think. It's the girl.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a girl, but she's got, like, two swords in her hand.
Yeah,
right? Can't remember her name.
Sure. Yeah, she's the one, but I can't remember her name either. Not that important. It's an old game anyway.
No, I'm only like 11 or 12% through Batman, but I'm enjoying the crap out of the game. There's these Scarecrow levels where, you know, Scarecrow just poisons you with his stuff and...
Yeah, things go insane. Don't tell me. We've already had our spoiler warning two weeks ago.
It's good. It almost feels like a 2D platformer. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out before too many things get spoiled for me. But, yep. Again, price is an issue. I'm willing to spend $60 for the game, but I have to sacrifice other things in order to spend this.
Are you willing not to eat this week so you can play Batman?
Exactly. We'll take the Sony route.
Yeah.
You have to work overtime in order to get our system. That was a smart marketing move.
Yeah, right. And everything about the stealth in it is great. It's honestly the first stealth game that actually even comes to mind for me that I've liked. The Splinter Cell games were, like, meh for me. Yeah. Like, they were kind of fun, but they were tedious at the same time.
And Metal Gear is either a love or hate thing.
As much as Metal Gear Solid is about the stealth, it just doesn't feel as much of a stealth game to me, you know?
Well, what? I heard that 4 wasn't nearly as stealthy as previous ones.
No. I'm thinking of the older ones, too, yeah. Though. Like, I guess Metal Gear Solid 1 counts as a stealth game. I mean, it is about reading people's, like, you know, their paths and whatnot. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, this one's not quite as much about that. It's more about, like, just turning on your bat goggles and waiting until, like, one guy's separate and then beating the crap out of him and disappearing.
Somebody described it as basically you're trying to do as much to your enemies without being seen. like, which creates a really, it's very Batman. It really describes that you feel like you are Batman, and it makes for really interesting gameplay, because instead of just sneaking around these guys, you're trying to take them out. But you're not just going in, you know, fisticuffs. You've got to take them out. And it's really funny. I played the demo of it, and it's just really funny to, like, when you're in the room with all the gargoyles and the guards down the bottom, just, you know, grab a guy, take him out, and then just watch the guys freak out. Yeah. Like, oh my god, where'd he go?
Yeah. It's really, really fun. There's a lot of inventive ways to take down guys. I mean, everything from hanging upside down from a gargoyle and then, like, stringing them up, and then when the guys go look at him, like, throw a batarang and it'll drop them down on top of the guys, spraying explosive gel on bodies so when they're like, oh, we got a guy over here down, like, three of them will walk over and just, like, bend over and look at it, like, stare at the explosive gel, and then, like, you know, it explodes and kills everything. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so we may as well title this the ADD edition, because we haven't really been keeping on the topics we wanted to talk about. But hey, you know, we've got a good 25 minutes worth of material here, and we can use the last 10 minutes to pound out a few topics. Yeah. Do you have something else you want to bring up?
No.
Okay. No. I'll bring up a couple more then.
I found a way to sneak my topics in between everything.
Yeah, I tried to do that. Well, two more things that I want to touch on. First of all, you play Left 4 Dead?
I did play the first one not quite a bit. I played it a little bit. It was alright. I liked it, though.
On what?
On 360.
Okay. See, I'm not much of a PC gamer. I need to have a controller in my hand, but I found a lot of cool stuff that's going on PC. Somebody made a Super Mario 64 Left 4 Dead map. And I'm getting a completely baffled look over here.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what to, like... Like, I don't even have a picture of that in my mind. Most of the time...
Obviously, you have to suspend the feeling of terror and everything that you normally get playing Left 4 Dead to enjoy this. Huh. But yeah, just like recreations of Peach's Castle from Super Mario 64, Ba-Bomb Battlefield.
It's so weird. It's so awesome.
You check out the pictures. They've got some on joystick. I'm sure, again, Google Images will bring it up. But yeah, weird and awesome are probably the words that I can best describe what I saw.
Yeah, I kind of like Left 4 Dead.
There's a screenshot of Peach's Castle from Super Mario 64 with zombies pouring out of it.
Alright, that's entertaining. Yeah, we only got a couple minutes left, so...
Alright, well, the last thing I wanted to touch on is Ned Game, which is a Dutch retailer, is apparently refusing to stock the PSP Go.
Yeah. Oh, because it's basically cutting all their profits out from games.
Yeah, which I don't think we've ever discussed about the PSP Go is that whether or not consumers want it, retailers are not going to want it.
Yeah, retailers are going to string Sony up. Like, they really do not like this, and it does cut into their profits quite a bit. You don't make money on the systems. They might make $7-$8 on this $250 PSP.
Yeah.
But the games, every single game they might make $5 on, or $7 on.
And then most game stores have a resale market.
A resale market.
And that's where the profit is. That's where GameStop made their money. That's probably where, you know, make your money.
I'll be straight with you. That's where we make most of our money. I'm not going to try to hide that from anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows resale is where the money is because... You know,
that's why Toys R Us and Best Buy have started to do it.
Yeah, and just
Walmart.
This PSP Go just really seems like a bad idea on all accounts, and this is just kind of proving that it.
No,
but the price is another factor. $250 for a system that you can get for $100 less with more functionality.
Yeah. Eventually, it's the way it's gonna go. Everything's gonna be digital download. I know as much as people like holding things, people also don't like getting up off their couch.
I disagree, but continue.
It's foolish. How can you even think that? Like,
because you can't. First of all, there are people like me who like the physical aspect of it. Second, same thing that Sony's facing right now. If you stop selling the games, in stores, you've just cut out your middleman, because GameStop's not going to sell the system.
And that's the
Walmart's
point.
Not going to sell the system. You'll have to buy them direct from the company.
And that is part of the point. They are cutting out the middleman, they're cutting out packaging costs, they're cutting out disc costs. You're going to get your games for cheaper, it's going to be easier to develop for, and it's going to be faster to actually get them. I know retail in itself is not going to accept it with open arms, but nonetheless, gamers are going to take to it. It's going to be the way of the future.
Well, I'm actually in the middle of writing a blog on this topic right now, but my argument against that is the fact that I've done the digital download thing, and I got burned by it, because the problem is you lose, what you end up buying is not necessarily the game, but the license to play that game, and they can revoke that, they can
change the terms of that.
Yeah, they can change the terms, they could, like, I remember a lot of my early iTunes downloads won't play on the 360 or the PSP because they've got the DRM in it.
Yeah, yep.
You know, stuff like that just make it difficult. Well, we're over the half-hour mark, so.
Well, it has been a pleasure. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, want to voice any opinions to us, we're not going to listen to them, but you can do it anyway. You can stop at our website, gamenutspodcast.blogspot.com. And this is Sticky, signing out.
And this is Fear the Claw, saying goodnight. And again, check out iTunes, leave us a review, get more people listening.
Yep, we need listeners. We need a listener base, so tell your friends. Later, plebs.